بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم مبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يسر إخوانك من مكتبة الموحدين بجزء البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة أن نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ عبدالله بن صلفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى، الذي سيلقي علينا كلمة بعنوان الثبات بعد رمضان. So pleasure to have with us our noble Sheikh Abdullah bin Salfiq al-Dhafiri. May Allah bless and preserve him. Who will be delivering a lecture entitled Steadfastness After Ramadan. Faryatifullah Sheikhna, mashkuna majura.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'een. أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إخواني، يطيب لي في هذه الليلة المباركة، وهي أحد ليالي العشر الأواخر، أن نقوم بهذه الكلمة مشاركة لكم ومعكم في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل وفي التناصح والتذاكر. ولا شك أن هذا العمل من الأعمال الجليلة العظيمة والتي يمن الله عز وجل على من أراد أن يستعمله في طاعته. فنشر الخير والتناصح هو من الجهاد في سبيل الله ومن التعاون على البر والتقوى. فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلني وإياكم من أهل الإخلاص والمتابعة للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. إخواني، إن الدين جاء لتهذيب الأخلاق وتزكية النفوس وإصلاح القلوب وتهذيب حياة المسلم وأخذ النواصي الإنسان إلى سبيل الخير وطريق الله المستقيم. فالعبادات شرعت لهذا المقصد، كما قال سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المبين: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وكما قال عز وجل: هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. فآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. فالقرآن العظيم جاء هداية للعالمين، جاء لتهذيب النفوس، وجاء لتهذيب الأخلاق. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. هذا هو المقصد من الرسالة النبوية والدعوة الإلهية. فجاء الإسلام لتهذيب النفوس، وشرع هذه العبادات لتعويد المسلم على الاستمرار عليها في حياته كلها. فمن رحمة الله وحكمته شرع هذه الأيام الجليلات، أيام رمضان، شرع فيها هذه العبادات الجليلات من الصيام والقيام وتلاوة القرآن وإطعام الصائمين وإفطارهم وصلاة التراويح والقنوت والدعاء وغير ذلك من العبادات، كل ذلك جاء لتهذيب النفوس وتزكيتها وتهذيبها وتعويدها على هذه الطاعات الجليلات. فرمضان مدرسة تربوية يتعلم فيها المسلم قيام الليل فيرى فضله وأثره فيستمر عليه، ويتعلم الصيام فيرى أثره وفضله فيستمر في الصيام، ويتعلم تلاوة القرآن فيستمر عليه ويتأدب بآدابه ويعمل بأخلاقه وأوامره ونواهيه فيستمر على تلاوة القرآن، ويجعل القرآن ديدن حياته يتلوه آناء الليل وآناء النهار. وهذا ما أشار الله سبحانه وتعالى إليه عندما بين الحكمة والمقصد من الصيام، فقال عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. فالله سبحانه وتعالى بين في هذه الآية الحكمة والمقصد من الصيام، وهو أن يتحصل المسلم على التقوى التي إن ملكها العبد فإن حياته تستقيم. فالتقوى هي زمام حياة المسلم، متى ما هدب نفسه عليها ينتج في نفسه صلاح القلب الذي هو أساس كل شيء، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. فالصيام يهذب النفس ويصلح القلب، وإذا صلح قلب العبد فإنه يأتمر بأوامر الله وينتهي عن نواهي الله عز وجل ويستمر على الطاعات ويبتعد عن المعاصي والسيئات والمنكرات. وهذه الآية هي مقياس لصلاح صيام الإنسان وقيامه، فالإنسان إذا وجد من نفسه تغيرا عما سبق قبل رمضان، فوجد من نفسه إقبالا على الطاعات وإدبارا على المعاصي والسيئات، ووجد محبة للطاعات، ووجد محبة لرب الأرض والسماوات ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وللقرآن كلام الله عز وجل، فليعلم المسلم أنه في خير في حياته، وأن صيامه قد أثمر عليه. وأما إذا رأيته مستمرا في إغوائه قبل على ما كان عليه قبل رمضان، مستمرا في المعاصي تاركا الصلوات هاجرا للمساجد وبيوت الله، ينام عن الصلوات، فاعلم أن صيامه وقيامه مجرد الجوع والعطش والتعب، فإنه لم يثمر له تقوى وتوبة وإنابة. إخواني هناك نصان خطيران من كلام الله وكلام رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شئت قل ثلاثة نصوص. أما الأول فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: ولا تكونوا كالتي نقضت غزلها من بعد قوة أنكاثا. يحذر الله عز وجل أن يرجع الإنسان بعد أن عاهد الله على الطاعات، يرجع الإنسان بعدما من الله عليه بالحسنات وتكفير السيئات في هذا الشهر، فيرجع إلى ما كان عليه من المعاصي، فهذا حاله كحال التي غزلت غزلا ثم نقضته. النص الثاني يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى عن المنافقين، فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: ولو أرادوا الخروج لأعدوا له عدة، ولكن كره الله انبعاثهم فثبطهم وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين. ولو أرادوا الخروج لأعدوا له عدة، ولكن كره الله انبعاثهم فثبطهم وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين. أي أن الله عز وجل لو أراد لهم صلاحا وإنابة لحثهم ولأنشطهم، ولكن لأن الله لا يريد منهم هذا، ولأن الله بحكمته وعلمه علم ما في قلوبهم فثبطهم عن الطاعات. فهذا أمر خطير، أن الإنسان إذا رأى من نفسه إدبارا وتثبيطا عن الصلوات والطاعات فيخشى أن الله ثبطه، وأن الله لا يريد منه هذه الطاعات لما علم الله من قلبه فسادا وخرابا. أما النص الثالث فهو من قول نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا رأيت الله تعالى، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الذي رواه أحمد والطبراني وغيرهما من حديث عقبة بن عامر وصححه الألباني، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا رأيت الله تعالى يعطي العبد من الدنيا ما يحب وهو مقيم على معاصيه فإنما ذلك منه استدراج. هذا أمر خطير، إذا رأيت من نفسك أن الله يعطيك النعم والأولاد والأموال والبيت والمركب والزوجة ونعم، ومع ذلك أنت مقيم على معاصي الله، فاعلم أن الله يستدرجك، أي يسحبك إلى ما أنت عليه، فلا تتوب إلى الله ويصبح على قلبك غشاوة ويغريك الشيطان حتى يأخذك الله على غرة فتموت وأنت مستمر في المعاصي فتخسر الدنيا والآخرة. هذا هو الاستدراج. الاستدراج أن يمد الله العبد بالنعم وهو مقيم على معاصي الله. فليحذر المسلم من هذه النصوص الوعيد، نصوص الوعيد، وليخشى على نفسه، ولينظر إلى نعم الله فيستعملها في طاعة الله وفي القرب من الله عز وجل. إخواني، إن الواجب على المسلم بعد أن عاش هذه المدرسة التربوية وهذه الدورة العظيمة فنظر في الصيام وأثره، ونظر إلى القرآن وأثره، ونظر إلى قيام الليل وأثره، فلا يترك هذه العبادات طول السنة، فليجتهد والله عز وجل قد أمر نبيه والأمر تبع له، نحن تبع له كذلك. واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين، أي استمر في الطاعات وفي الإقبال إلى فعل الخيرات حتى يأتيك الموت. فالمسلم مكلف ما زال عقله معه حتى يموت ويقابل الله عز وجل. ولا يمنعه شيء من العبادات، لا مرض ولا سفر ولا غير ذلك، إلا إذا سلب عقله. فالواجب على المسلم أن يكون مستمرا على محبة الله ومحبة رسوله وعلى الطاعات، وأعظم الطاعات طلب العلم. فليقبل على القرآن تدبرا وتعلما وفهما لأحكامه وعملا بمقتضاها، ليستمر على تعلم السنة ويستمر على تعلم آثار السلف ويتفقه في دين الله، فإن خير الناس من تفقه في دين الله عز وجل، كما صح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: خيركم من تعلم القرآن، خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه الدين. هذا الواجب على المسلم عموما وعلى طالب العلم خصوصا، أن يخرج من هذا الموسم الجليل وقد تهذبت نفسه وتزكت أخلاقه وتعلم هذه العبادات الجليلة، وعاهد الله عز وجل على الاستمرار عليها. أسأل الله عز وجل بمنه وكرمه أن يرزقني وإياكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح، وأن يثبتني وإياكم على السنة وعلى كل ما يحبه الله عز وجل ويرضاه. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم ونفع الله بما قلتم شيخنا.
يا مرحبا، حياكم الله. السلام عليكم
ورحمة الله. السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يا مرحبا، بسم الله.
Noble Sheikh Abdullah Mutafiq al-Dhafiri, may Allah bless and preserve him, began this talk on the steadfastness after Ramadan, praising Allah, Lord of everything in existence, and invoking the salat and salam upon our messenger, his family, all of his companions, and those who follow in their footsteps until the day of resurrection. He's then greeted all the listeners, saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He said, my brothers, indeed, this is a pleasure this evening, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, to deliver this talk to you all, and to cooperate with you in giving da'wah, and calling to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, and mutually giving nasiha and reminding one another. And there's no doubt that this is one of the virtuous acts, one of the best of acts, that with the permission of Allah brings one closer to one's Lord. And it is by the blessings of Allah that when He wants good for a person, He uses that person in obedience to Him. And so we would hope that by being part of this process of mutually reminding one another, mutually advising one another, that this is a sign of goodness for us all, that Allah wants good for us, and that He is using us for the sake of His religion and in His obedience. For no doubt, mutually advising one another is part of jihad in the path of Allah, and it is part of cooperating upon bir and taqwa. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all ikhlas, sincerity towards Him. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all mutaba'ah, that is following the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykh Hafidhullah ta'ala continued saying, my brothers, this religion, the religion of Islam, came in order to refine people's character, to refine our character, and to rectify what is within our hearts. And when we rectify what is in our hearts and refine our character, then our lives will be correct. And when we are part of that process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us by the forelock, pulling us towards His straight path and pulling us towards those acts of worship which were legislated for the great purpose that Allah addresses when He says, لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةِ الرَّسُولَ أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. Certainly, we have sent forth in every nation a messenger proclaiming, worship Allah alone and avoid the false deities. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. It is He who sent a messenger amongst the illiterate people, that is the Arabs, a messenger from amongst themselves, يتلو عليهم آياتي, reciting to them His verses, ويزكيهم, and purifying them, ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة, and teaching them the book and wisdom, وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Even if before they were in clear misguidance. وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم. And others aside from them that have not yet reached them. And certainly He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messenger to guide the people to what is best for them through His book. This book, the Quran, is guidance for all of humanity. In fact, for all of the creation, everything that exists. And this book leads to what is best, refining the character of those who read it, refining their character, refining their souls, purifying them, and guiding them towards the best of behavior. In fact, the Messenger ﷺ said that this was the purpose of his mission, the purpose of his message. When he said in the hadith that I was only sent to perfect people's character. And so this is the purpose behind the prophetic message. The religion of Islam came to refine people's souls, to teach them the acts of worship that were legislated to be continuous, such that people would not only worship Allah at one time of the year, but continually perform the acts of worship that are legislated and bring them closer to their Lord throughout their life. It is because of the mercy of Allah and His wisdom that He legislated the month of Ramadan, and within it, the acts of obedience which bring His servants closer to Him, from fasting, from standing at night in prayer, from reciting the Quran, from feeding the fasting people and poor and needy, from praying Salat al-Tarawih, and from making dua, and other than this, from the acts of worship. All of these were legislated for the purpose of achieving taqwa. The month of Ramadan is a school. This month in and of itself is a school which teaches those who enroll in it valuable lessons. The Muslim learns in the month of Ramadan how to stand in prayer at night. He learns how virtuous praying at night is, such that when the month is over, he will continue to do so throughout the year. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslim learns in this school how virtuous it is to fast for the sake of Allah. To the extent that when the month comes to an end, he continues to practice fasting throughout the year. During this month, the Muslim learns the virtue of reciting the Quran, such that he not only recites it during this month, but continues to do so throughout the year, reading its commandments and implementing them, and reading its prohibitions and refraining from them. In fact, he makes this book something that his life revolves around, reciting it by day and by night. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla was pointing at, indicating, when talking about the purpose of fasting. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it was prescribed upon those who came before you, such that you would attain taqwa. Allah clarifies in this ayah the purpose of the fast. What is meant to be achieved through fasting? That is, the Muslim would achieve taqwa. That he would be dutiful to and fearful of his Lord, remaining upright throughout his life upon obedience to his Creator. Taqwa is like the reins of life. Just like when a rider is on an animal and he has reins that he grabs onto, taqwa is the reins that the Muslim grabs onto throughout life to steer himself in the right direction. It is through maintaining taqwa, being dutiful to and fearful of Allah, that the Muslim refines his soul and he rectifies his heart. In fact, this is the foundation of absolutely everything, rectifying the heart. As in the well-known hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certainly within the body there is a morsel of flesh, that if it is correct, the whole body will be correct. Certainly it is the heart. Certainly in the body there is a morsel of flesh, that if it is correct, the entire body will be correct, and if it is corrupt, then the entire body will be corrupt. Certainly it is the heart. So fasting is something that helps refine the heart and rectify what is in the heart. When the Muslim rectifies what is in his heart, he implements the commandments of Allah and refrains from the prohibitions of Allah. He continues to do those acts of obedience throughout his life. He continues to leave alone acts of sin and transgression throughout his life. And if we look at this ayah, we can find for ourselves a way to measure how effective our fast has been, how effective our standing at prayer at night during this month has been, by looking at our condition during the month and then comparing it to our condition after the month. If after the month of Ramadan, we find some change within ourselves, some continuity in continuing to fast, continuing to pray at night, not simply doing so during the month and then forgetting about these acts of worship after the month, but continuing even to a lesser extent after the month, then we should know that we have benefited from this month. If we find ourselves leaning towards acts of obedience and leaning away from acts of sin and transgression, then this is a sign that our fast has been accepted and we have passed the test of this month. When the Muslim finds within himself, after the month of Ramadan, a love for worship, a love for act of obedience, a love for his Lord, and a love for his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a love for the Quran, the speech of Allah, then he should know that his fast was accepted and his fast was a benefit to him, because it produced fruits. Whereas if a person after the month of Ramadan goes back to his old ways of misguidance, goes back to the same old sins, doing the old things that he used to do before Ramadan, such as abandoning the Salat, abandoning the Quran, abandoning the houses of Allah, and let him know that his fasting was nothing other than hunger and thirst. My brothers, there are two, or rather three, texts from the scripture that are dangerous. They are a warning for us. The first is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا تَتَّخِذُونَ أَيْمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not be like the one who, the woman who wove something intricate. She took threads and wove something. And then after spending all that time and effort weaving it, she simply unraveled it. That would simply be a waste. Allah is telling us, don't be like that. The person who during the month of Ramadan finds himself actively doing acts of obedience and acts of worship which expiate his sins. And then after the month of Ramadan is over, he goes back to committing those same sins. He's being like that woman who wove something intricate and then simply unraveled it. This is dangerous. This is a threat. The second statement, which is dangerous, which is a warning to us, is what Allah Azza wa Jal said regarding the munafiqeen. وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ وَقِيلَ قُعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ. If they really wanted to go out, that is, for the sake of Allah, they would have made preparations for it. But Allah disliked that they go out in His path, and so He tied them down. He made them heavy and held them back. And it was said to them, sit down with those who sit. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the souls of His servants, and He knows who is sincere and who is not, who really wants to go out and strive in His path, and who doesn't. Those hypocrites in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, who claimed to be from the Ummah, but with a false claim, didn't go out in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Rather, because Allah wanted for them not to get the reward of the believers striving for His sake, He held them back. Because He knew what was in their souls, disbelief, He held them back. He held them back from deeds that bring the servant closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. We should apply this to ourselves and see if we ourselves are from those who are held back from acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the month of Ramadan, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to praying at night, when it comes to reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are we simply lazy? Are we from those who are held back and don't march forth in the sake of Allah? If so, let us fear for ourselves. The third statement from the text, there's a saying of the Messenger ﷺ recorded by Imam Ahmad and Tabarani and other than them, on the authority of Uqbah ibn Amr, which was greatly sahih by Imam al-Albani. The Messenger ﷺ said, if you see Allah giving a servant from this dunya what he loves, and he continues upon acts of disobedience, then this is only istidraj. Istidraj is when Allah Azza wa Jalla continues to give a person blessings such that they go farther and farther away from His path, not using these blessings for His sake, but rather they become a distraction for him such that he goes farther away from the path of Allah. If we see ourselves applying this to ourselves after the month of Ramadan, continuing to receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, receiving all of the good that this life has to give, from children and wealth and homes and vehicles and spouses, yet we continue to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us know this is only istidraj. That this is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placing a cover over our hearts, a seal over our hearts, such that we can't see the truth. Until we would continue upon this path, receiving those blessings that are only distractions, until the point that we die upon disobedience to Allah and lose out on this life and the afterlife. استدراج is receiving the blessings of Allah while continuing to disobey Allah. When we look at these three texts, we should fear for ourselves, fear for our own souls. If we see ourselves receiving the blessings of Allah, we should strive to use them in obedience to Allah. After the school of Ramadan has finished, after it has come to an end, we look at the effect that the fasting, the praying at night, and the recitation of Quran has had upon us. We find that this month encourages us to do more of that throughout the year and striving hard. This is a sign of good. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whenever Allah Azza wa Jal commands His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are His followers, we are also being commanded. He commanded him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, "Wa'bud Rabbaka hatta yatiyaka al-yaqin." Worship your Lord until al-yaqin comes to you. Linguistically, al-yaqin means certainly, certainty. So what does it mean to worship Allah until certainty comes to you? It means, as the scholars of tafsir have clarified, worship Allah until the only thing that is certain to happen to you in life comes to you, and that is death. Worship Allah until you die. Never stop worshiping Allah until your life is over. The Muslim is responsible and has been charged with acts of worship as long as he has his intellect. There's nothing that lifts these responsibilities from him, not even sickness, traveling, or other than that. As long as a Muslim has his intellect, he is responsible for performing acts of worship continually. From the greatest acts of worship is seeking knowledge, striving to understand the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the statements that have been transmitted and passed down to us from our pious predecessors. From the greatest acts of worship are seeking a deep understanding of the religion, seeking fiqh fi al-deen. As in the hadith al-sahih, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it to others." And in the other well-known hadith, whoever Allah wants good for him, He gives him a deep understanding of the religion. And so it's an obligation upon Muslims in general, and students of knowledge in particular, to continue to strive hard after this month in seeking knowledge and praying at night and fasting and reciting the Quran, and not to let this be the end of it once the day of Eid comes. Rather, to continue with these acts of good that we have been establishing throughout this month for the rest of the year. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all knowledge which is beneficial and actions which are righteous. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barakatuh.